When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Metal Mike here, and in this one, I'm joined by my Twitter pal, Rob, and together, we share our 10 favorite metal albums from 1990. Now, this was not easy. It was a kick-ass year for metal, and we go through it all. But first, make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube, and consider being a subscriber through Anchor. There's a link in the description below. For $4.99 a month, you can support this show, and in turn, I'll give you access to exclusive content, and I'll keep you in the loop through email on upcoming episodes. Now it's time to hear our epic list with classic sound bites sprinkled in throughout. Check it out.
Well, Rob, welcome to the 80s Glam Metalcast. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, brother. How you doing tonight?
I am doing great, man. I'm so glad you're able to join me on this one. 1990, what a year, right?
Woo! Good times, long time ago. Wow. What was I, 15, 16 years old? Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Let me ask you, and this is kind of where I was at. In 1990, I still really didn't see the writing on the wall. To me, it looked like metal was pretty healthy at this point. You know, I mean, a lot of the hair bands put out some of their best work. Bands like Priest were getting real heavy again. Megadeth and Slayer and all these guys were coming to prominence. I didn't see an end to it. What do you think about it?
Mike, I kind of did, because a lot of people around me that were kind of moving on to gangster rap. Plus, I was in the on the Pacific Northwest. So, you know, we always were hearing about bands like Soundgarden and, you know, in 1990, like we're going to discuss, Mother Love Bone put their first album out, so that was kind of on everybody's radar. So, you know, music was changing a bit, like it was already starting, you know, a lot of guys went to school and for all of a sudden, like, oh, you know, that glam metal crap, you know, they were kind of like, you know, not really into it anymore. It was, yeah, I could sense a change. I really could. I stuck with it.
Right.
You know, I didn't care. But, yeah, you could sense a change, definitely. It was coming. It was coming.
I guess deep down, I probably was moving on a bit myself, because I realized that I didn't get a lot of debut hair metal albums. Especially once you got to like the next year, 91, a lot of those debuts that we get all those people talking about, like, you know, Roxy Blue and Wildside and all that, maybe that stuff went into 92, but I didn't get any of that stuff. So I had kind of moved on to different stuff as well. I think I stuck with, you know, my homeboys like Poison and Winger and all these guys, but I wasn't kind of jumping on the train for the new artists at that point, you know, if that played that style. So, yeah, I guess I was kind of moving on a little bit myself.
Yeah, for me too. I mean, by 1990, you know, I was getting into death metal, you know what I mean? I could easily put a couple of, you know, death metal albums on this list here tonight, but it was changing for me too a little bit, definitely. But, yeah, this was hard doing this list, man, I tell you, it was hard. You know what I did? I stuck with glam metal. I'm not even kidding. My list tonight here is going to be all glam metal, sleaze metal, and hard rock, brother.
Nice. I've got a couple heavy ones, but nothing too crazy. Another thing that brings that comes to mind with 1990 is look at the touring, because you've had some bands that were still on some big tours in 1990. The Dr. Feelgood tour went into 90. Hot in the Shade tour really peaked in 90, and I think even from a touring aspect, I didn't see an end to that happening. And I think what was happening too is we were on the cycle. So our 88 bands were putting out their albums in 90. You know, we had just gotten off the 89 run of bands, and then they were on tour in 90. So like I said, 90 was still pretty healthy, at least sales-wise.
It really was. Yeah, it really was. Yeah, I saw a lot of concerts in 90, and most of those were, you know, sellouts or near sellouts. But when we got into 91, that's when I noticed. Like, when I went to see Cinderella, and Slaughter was opening for Cinderella. Man, this was at the arena in Vancouver. And man, oh man, you know, 17,000 theater, there was probably 2,000 people there.
Wow.
And that's really when I noticed, in 91. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you know. The wheels were coming off the bus, dude, no doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah, there was definitely the bottom fell out in 91, man. So, hey, why don't we jump right in? What I'm dying to hear, man, what is your number 10?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Number 10 for me, Hurricane Alice, Tear the House Down.
Nice, nice.
You know, when I did this list, I basically went, okay, I'm just picking the stuff I played the crap out of back in 90, and this is one of them. I mean, I love this album. You know, Wild, Young, and Crazy, Bad to Love, Dream Girl, you know, Tear the House Down. I love the song Too Late. I played the crap out of this. You know, it's kind of one of those hated albums, though. It's like, oh, yeah, here comes the D-list band, you know what I mean? But, now, for me, man, I played the crap out of it, loved it. Yep, the number 10 spot for me, Hurricane Alice.
Well, you know that I like that album a lot. It didn't make my top 10, but yeah, I really dig the title, or actually, was it the title track? Was that the first single, the title? I liked that one a lot, and I always thought Dream Girl was a cool ballad. I never was into ballads that much, but I thought he had a really nice bluesy voice, the singer, and yeah, that's a cool album, man.
Absolutely, yeah. And I like the fact that the album's not overproduced either. There's a bit of a rawness to it, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I liked about it for sure. But
So I went with most of mine are established bands. I don't know if I have. I think I might have one debut, but I don't want to get. I want to reveal any secrets. I'm just gonna jump in. So number 10, I did. I went with "Against the Law" by Stryper. Man, I love that album. And you know, I understand where Michael Sweet's coming from, and I love Stryper's message. But you know, I get that's who they are. But I think it was cool that they took a little detour with the message and the look, and definitely the production. Man, was just off the charts. It's their best sounding album in my opinion, and I really feel like it's kind of like it. Maybe it's not as metal as some of the ones before, especially "To Hell with the Devil" or "Soldiers Under Command." But it's really full. It's a full sounding album. You know, it's a really good sound, and it's fun. And I just dig it, man. I think it's really, I think it's a great album, especially those last three tracks. They feel the most Stryper-ish. Like "Caught in the Middle," "All for One," and "Rock the Hell Out of You." Those songs are so cool. And "Against the Law" is great. "Two-Time Woman." I don't know, man. The whole friggin' album's awesome. So that's my number 10.
Yeah, nice. I'm with you on that one. Love that record. "Shining Star" is fantastic, too. I love that cover. So good.
Yep. It's good stuff. What do you got for your 9?
Number 9, I went with another debut. Every dog has its day.
Oh, nice one. I kind of forgot about that one for this. There's always somebody that you forget about. I forgot that came out in 90. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing the video for "Come Along," and I was just like, who the hell are these guys? You know, I just thought, oh, this dude's cool. You know, it's got a great voice. Just a killer record. I mean, start to finish. "Come Along," "Cat's Got Nine," "Ring My Bell." Mm. You know, "Spoonful." "Keep Me Down" is awesome. I love this album. Yeah, again, another one I just couldn't get enough of. Just, you know, played it over and over again. And like I said, that's what this list was all about for me. Just, you know, what I played the hell out of. And, that's number 9 for me.
Yeah, that's a great one. I love the song "Heave Hard, She Comes Easy." I don't know, I always like that song. I think that's a little deeper in the album, but, you know what was cool about that album? It didn't sound like any of the other hair bands. This one definitely had like that 70s vibe. You know, it was really raw. The drums had that Led Zeppelin type of sound. So it really sounded nothing like some of the stuff that was coming out in like 89 and 88. So, you know, once again, that's why I kind of felt hopeful in 90. I was like, man, there's so many different kinds of styles and cool bands all coexisting, but it wasn't going to last.
yeah. know. I mean, some of these bands, like Salty Dog, and I mean, Hurricane Alice, I mean, they just came out at a long time.
Yep.
You know, these albums should have been out in 88 or maybe early 89. And, you know, how many times have we said this? Just be a different story for them, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So number nine for me is Up From the Ashes, Don Dokken, man. He's got the all-star band. There's so many cool songs on this one. I would have rated it higher, but I feel like there's a few sleepers on this one. There's like too many slow tunes, but the songs that are upbeat and faster, like I love the song Down in Flames, The Hunger ends the album, and Crash and Burn is great. Obviously, Mirror Mirror, the single was awesome. So I don't know. I kind of wish that was a Dokken album. I would have loved to have seen what, like, Dokken Up From the Ashes mixed with, you know, Wicked Sensation from Lynch Mob would have been like. But I don't know. It still was a great, great album.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't have that one on my list, for sure, but I definitely like that. And I saw that tour.
Nice.
Actually, I saw that tour. They opened for Poison, Flesh and Blood tour. It was supposed to be Warrant, but I guess there was some band friction, and that didn't happen. So yeah, I guess Don Dokken stepped in, and I bought that actually after I saw that show.
Nice.
And yeah, I dig that album too, man. That's a cool album. Cool album.
Yeah, definitely. What do you have for eight?
Number eight, I went Cinderella, Heartbreak Station. Yeah. This one, I gotta admit, when it came out, it was a bit of a grower. I mean, it was so rootsy sounding, and all the kind of the, you know, the 80s sort of cliche were kind of stripped away, you know, and just very bluesy. And I just wasn't ready for it. I was like, what's going on here? You know, one for rock and roll. You know, what's that all about?
And, that was a shocker.
It grew on me. Yeah, I was sort of like, what is going on here? Like, I don't feel like I'm listening to a glam metal album. You know, it's not what I expected. And but it grew on me. And I mean, the more things change, of course, Shelter Me, Heartbreak Station, Dead Man's Road, such a cool song. And started tour, and they were fantastic. Every time I see Cinderella, man, they just killed it live.
Killed it,
just amazing. Yeah, so, that's my number eight. But that was a grower for me. That's why it's kind of down low, down the eight. You know, it's not my favorite Cinderella record, but it's definitely worthy of a top 10 and 90 for me.
Yeah, I honestly, that one did not make my top 10. It was very, very close. And what's weird, I'm the opposite of you in regards to how I react to the album. Like, I really liked it when it came out, and I just remember playing the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think over the years, like, I don't like it as much as I used to. I feel like they went too far in the blues direction and strayed way too far from, like, the debut. I like Long Cold Winter better. I like how they still had that heaviness, and there were some metallic sounds, but then they integrated the blues. And then I feel like by the time we got to this one, it was too far in that direction. But still, man, those songs are so good. There's just so many songs. But I think some of them just don't work for me anymore, so that's why it did not make my list. But yeah, and you're right. And you know, you made a good point about seeing somebody live. A lot of times that was the thing. It was like you might have been on the fence about something, and then the minute you saw the tour, I feel like if that was a good live show, you were buying the album, and you were hardcore listening to it. So the live shows and seeing a band on that tour always helped.
Yeah, oh, for sure. You know what I always cry, it made me laugh about this album too? You look at the album cover, and you look at the back with the train track.
Yeah.
I mean, it tells you everything about what you're about to hear.
It does.
You know what I mean? When I say that, it's like, you know, I know exactly what this is going to sound like when I put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they look like they did at Night Songs on the cover, and then you heard what the album really was, you would have been really confused. But you're right. They marketed it pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. That would have been weird. Night Song album cover, and then you hear these songs. Like, what the hell?
Gotcha. Right?
What's going on here?
All right, man. So my number eight. Is Tiger Tail's Berserk. And the thing with Berserk. Here's the thing with Berserk. I'll be honest. It took me about I don't know. It could have took 20 years, I think, for me to get into this album. I don't know why. I got it around when it came out, like on an import cassette or something. But for some reason, I just couldn't take to Kim Hooker at the time. I thought I just was a Stevie James nut, and I loved that first album. So I kind of like dabbled with this, but then I kind of sat on it. And then, you know, fast forward to maybe like, I don't know, it's sometime in the 2000s, maybe 2005, 2010, somewhere in there, I started listening to this religiously, you know, just constantly listening to it. And then I started to realize, like, wow, what an idiot. This, why did I not like this, you know, so, you know, back in 1990? Because this album kicks ass. It's like heavy glam, you know? And this is one of those situations when I go back and think about it. When I talk to Jay Pepper, you know, for me, and I know you and I like a lot of these same like poppy glam songs. So I love songs on there like Twist and Shake, all these catchy songs. So then I talk to Jay Pepper, and he's like, "Nah, I like Six Sex," and I like, because he likes all the heavy ones, you know. And it was just like, what's wrong with me, man? Why did these guys who are like these glam guys like all these wicked heavy tunes, and then I'm the one who's all obsessed with the pop songs? But I don't know. I'm a freak. What can I say? But yeah, it to me, this album sounds like a live album. Like they've got so much reverb on the drums and on the guitar and everything. It sounds so damn cool. I used to crank that cassette in my car, and it just sounded like a concert. So I love the production. It's not even really produced like a glam album. It's produced like a thrash album, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's raw sounding. It's kind of got like the almost Too Fast for Love thing going on.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just a very raw sounding. And, you know, sometimes that works. I don't have that album on my list anywhere, but I definitely dig that record, no question.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question.
What do you got for 7?
Number 7 is one that will not be on your list, I guarantee, based on past conversations, but I gotta go with it because I played the shit out of it.
Ow! I'm Janie Lane.
And I'm Jerry Dixon.
We are one. We're out too hot on the hot seat.
This is our new video. It's a real lovely, lovely ballad. I hope it never happens to you.
God! She took my money! She took my heart, everything! This is called I Saw Red.
Cherry Pie.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Cherry Pie, yeah, I mean, what can I say about it? I mean, Uncle Tom's Cabin, I Saw Red, Love and Stereo, Song and Dance Man. My biggest problem with this album is, why isn't Thin Disguise one of the tracks on here? You know, like I say, Take Off, You're the Only Hell Your Mama Ever Raised, and put Thin Disguise on here.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was like a bonus track, or it should have been on here, but yeah, I love this record. I played the hell out of it. And the fact that people hated it, all the more reason to crank it. Yeah.
You're right. I never got into this album for some reason, and I don't know why. Sonically, it's a great album. I think it sounds way better. The production is way better than the first one. The two songs that I love on this one are Mr. Rainmaker and Uncle Tom's Cabin. I think those are two of Warren's best songs. But the rest of the album does nothing for me. And I've tried, and it just is what it is. That's a little gap for me. I love the debut. I love Dog Eat Dog. Cherry Pie is just that little, it's kind of like a head scratcher. I just don't get a lot of it. It just doesn't register to me. I don't know why.
Right. Hey, that's the way of it. You know, some albums just don't click with people. I mean, I'm the same way. Like, somebody will tell me, "Oh, this album's so awesome, it's the best. Do you got to listen to it?" And I put it on, and it's just like, "What?
Yeah,
what are you hearing?" You know, and so I get it. I totally understand. Absolutely.
I liken it to food. You know, you can't really explain why somebody, you like pizza, but you don't like Chinese food or something. You know, you can't explain it. It's just you like it or you don't. And you know, and that's the way it was with an album. You know, you plug it in, you play it a few times and it doesn't register, then it probably never is going to. It's just not for you. You don't understand the artist's point of view. It's just not registering. So I've been there. We've all been there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So for 7.
That's right. Okay. What do you got?
I got Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe. Wait a minute, that was my R&B list. Oh, sorry, that was wrong. I had to do it. You know, we were talking about some of those ones that were not allowed on this list. So that kind of stuff, not allowed on this list. Okay, so my seven is an album. I compare this album a lot. It reminds me of Dr. Feelgood a lot. It's very single heavy, I call it. It's got a lot of big singles on it. Stick It to You by Slaughter. Love it, man. Great album. And here's why I like Stick It to You a little bit better than Dr. Feelgood. Where Dr. Feelgood for me had great singles, the deep tracks just, I don't know, just never did anything for me. And with this album, the songs that weren't released are some of the coolest ones, like Eye to Eye, Desperately, Burning Bridges. I love all those songs, and I love the singles too. So for me, it's just, and it's an awesome sounding album. Once again, sonically, most of these albums are kicking ass, and it's because technology was going forward as well. You know what I mean? They could do a lot more tracks. Okay. Digital was coming in, and this is one of those albums that just sounds so killer, and it's just well written. Yeah. And I don't think, and you could disagree or agree with me, Slaughter never captured this vibe again. You know what I mean? The next album was a major drop off, and then the next one was a major drop off. So I don't know what it is. You know, sometimes you just, the lightning strikes right at the beginning, and that's what it did for these guys. But just a great, great album.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And yeah, the Wildlife did not compare. One of the things that annoyed me too about the Wildlife, I don't know what they were thinking when it came to the production.
Oh.
It's so wooden sounding, if that's a good way to describe it. It just, like, what's happening?
Yeah.
It just ruined the song.
Yeah.
I'm
with you. I think it should have had the same kind of sound quality as the debut, but I think because there were, you know, we're 92 at that point, they were trying to, you know, I don't know if they were trying to play along with what was going on, but it didn't work.
It didn't work, no. And I mean, there's some great songs on there.
Yeah.
There is.
Oh, definitely.
It's just, again, it's ruined by poor production and, yeah, coming out Stick It to You, it's just not as good.
No, it's not, man. What do you got for six?
Yeah. Number six. Oh, here we go. Dream 2, Porno Graffiti.
Ah, yeah.
Yes, sir. So more than words. Okay, it got played to death. I mean, yeah. But there was a time when the album came out, it was just a ballad on the album
right before
it became a huge hit. And, I love this record. I mean, man, I played the hell out of it. You know, Decadent Dance, When I'm President, Get the Funk Out. I love this record. It was constant rotation for me. I never took it off, man. For weeks, I played this thing. And I never expected it to kind of blow up like it did. When More Than Words came out and it was on the radio and, you know, on Much Music up here in Canada. And, of course, MTV every, 10 minutes. And you're like, oh, my God. You know, I think that song was a gift for them. At the same time, it was kind of a curse.
Yeah.
You know, the More Than Words guy. It's like, no, man, these guys really do, they can kick some ass. There's no question. And, I mean, you know, it's freaking amazing. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I love listening to that guy play guitar. Absolutely. So, yeah. That's where I am with number six.
Now for six,
what's your take on that one?
Oh, for that one, I never really was a big Extreme fan, and I don't know why, because I have a ton of respect for them. I think they're all talented, but for some reason, Extreme never registered for me. But with this album, you're right. I remember, I know Decadence Dance and Get the Funk Out. Those were the first two singles from what I remember. And they really didn't do anything.
Right.
You know, they were just typical Headbangers Ball fare. But man, once More Than Words came out and then Wholehearted, it was like the album picking up that major steam at the end. And that's not uncommon. That happened with Tesla, with Great Radio Controversy. Those first singles did nothing. And then Love Song was huge. So this sometimes happens. And they really got lucky there at the end of the run.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That kind of happened with Guns N' Roses, too. I mean, Appetite came out. It didn't really do much.
Nope.
Sweet Child of Mine gets released. And all of a sudden, boom.
Yep.
Thing just explodes. So,
yep.
Yeah, it happens.
Number six is a little bit of an oddball one. It's not a hair metal album at all. Last Decade, Dead Century from Warrior Soul. Always was big into Warrior Soul, man, and I love Corey Clark. And I feel like at this point, I'm getting older. I'm getting more rebellious, and I'm liking some of the political stuff. It's making me think. And some of the things he was saying, I had never heard. None of the hair bands really went to this, you know, this level. You know, songs like the Losers and In Conclusion, We Cry Out. It's just, you know, it was the beginning of kind of a awakening, you know, as a teenager to like, there's, you know, there's this whole other world out there. So yeah, it's just kind of one of those ones that just, it's not a hair metal album. But I really love the rawness of it. I love what was being said. And I guess it was just real different for me compared to, like, you know, and it's real different from something like Slaughter or any of that kind of stuff I've already mentioned. But yeah, that was a cool album. And it was on Headbangers Ball, but you could tell it really wasn't the typical metal that we were used to. But yeah, that's a good one. I love that one.
Yeah, that is a great record. And yeah, to your point about, you know, taking things more serious and political, you know, one of the albums I left off this list, but I was going to put it on there, was 1990s Time's Up by Living Colour.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he ever got into that album at all, but, you know, same deal, a little more serious, a little more, you know, political, you know, and same deal. But that Warrior Soul album's fantastic.
Yeah.
And you know what? I completely forgot about that one.
That's like your Salty Dog for me. Salty Dog was like just right over my head on this one. What do you got for five?
Oh, you ready? We're in the top five now.
This is the serious shit now.
This is serious now. We're getting the nitty gritty. My number five is Detonator by Rat.
Ooh, Detonator, man.
Yes, sir. I remember when this came out, I didn't hear anything off it. I didn't hear any songs on the radio, nothing. I remember going to a music store, and there it was sitting on the shelf on cassette. I was like, a new Rat album? Okay. So I grabbed it, took it home, and put it on, and yeah, fell in love with it. It's actually one of my favorite Rat records. Mm-hmm. I love Shame, 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 Loving You, The Dirty Job, Scratch That Itch, One Step Away, Heads I Win, Tails You Lose, you know, Giving Yourself Away. I love this album. I had it up higher than five, but there was something about the next four that kind of made me go, okay, what could I play more?
Yeah.
So,
What I remember about this one, I remember, this is like a big blur because they feel like they all came out around the same time, but I definitely felt like Against the Law, Detonator, and Empire, just all right around the same time. I remember buying those albums all probably within the same few days within each other. And it's hard back in the day when you used to do that because you didn't have a lot of time to just hang out with one album for a couple weeks because you had three brand new ones, you know, and you're shuffling through to try to figure out, you know, how you're going to balance your time, listen to all these albums. So, but with Detonator, okay, I got mixed feelings on Detonator, and I'm going to try to explain where my mixed feelings come in. I really, really, really liked Reach for the Sky. I don't know. A lot of people don't like Reach for the Sky, but I love Reach for the Sky. I think every song is really cool. I love it. And here's the problem that I had when it came out, and this is the problem that I have with it today still, is that Desmond Child influence, to me, creates an album that almost any band could play. And it happened with Alice Cooper. I'm not a big fan of trash. It's happened, you know, with other artists. That's an album that I felt like Rat lost some of their identity. Rat is great, and sometimes you do need that songwriter, but that's my only gripe. And today, you're right. I like, you know, I like a lot of those songs that you mentioned. I like the singles and whatnot, but that's my only gripe, is I feel like it's that Desmond Child songwriting stuff that, and it just kind of all sounds the same. Like I said, those songs could have been on the Alice Cooper album and vice versa. That's the only thing I don't like about it.
Yeah, and he's all over this, too. I mean, he even produced this thing under the name Sir Arthur Payson. But, yeah, he's all over this thing. And you know, I agree with what you're saying. Definitely, he's all over it. I mean, every song has his touch. You know his production sound, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know something he's produced.
And the funny thing was is that, like, Rat is going for this, you know, the outside writer and having him produce – but it really didn't work. It wasn't a big album compared to a lot of the other stuff that was out. So it's kind of weird. But giving yourself away, that's a great song. Like when I went back and I listened to that quite a bit before I talked to Steven, or whenever I talked to him, I don't remember, maybe it was early this year. I can't. It's all blur, Rob. I can't remember. But I remember listening to that album again, and especially that song. I watched the video. It was like a Japan only video or something, and I was like, this is a really great song. So really great song. I don't know if it's a really great Rat song, but it's a really great song.
Yeah, for sure.
Do I have to do my five now? I'm up next. Okay. This one was, I was torn on this one because I got mixed feelings on this album too.
The number one rock track of the year is Silent Lucidity from the double platinum selling album Empire.
Empire from Queensryche as number five because, it has that same kind of characteristic that, Stick It To You has. It's got, once again, I didn't write this down, but I want to say their half the album was released as a video, and I don't know how it was in Canada, but I mean, American radio and MTV beat the shit out of Jet City Woman, Another Rainy Night Without You, Silent Lucidity, obviously. So this album, was getting hammered on radio, and some of those songs I might not really want to hear that much anymore, but I've got to take it for the context of when it came out, not, what happened after the fact. And it's a great album, and I'm so glad that they didn't try to recreate Operation Mindcrime. That's what was so cool about Queensryche back in the day, is that they kept you guessing, Well, you go back from The Warning to here, every album is completely different sounding. It has different lyrical vibes, musical vibes. You never know what you're going to get. The image always changed. And it made it exciting. So it's cool, and I'll always love Operation Mindcrime, and probably will always look at that as one of their best. This is pretty damn good, man. Like Best I Can, Empire. Is there anybody listening? Once again, even though it wasn't super
Brown.
Yeah, that's a pretty political song. Makes you think about stuff and question things. Yeah. So yeah, that's a great album.
Yeah, and the title track Empire. I mean, I think that was the first single I heard off that album, and damn, that was a great song.
I'm kind of concerned because at this point you and I have no crossover. We have not picked any of the same albums, and I know that you and I like a lot of the same music, so I'm curious to see where if we're going to at least get one before this thing's over with.
Well, guess what? Ask me what my number four is.
What's your four?
You ready?
Yeah.
Number four, Stryper, Against the Law.
I knew it. Finally.
You knew it was coming at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What can I say? I mean, you've already said it. I mean, Michael Sweet doesn't like this album. I don't care, Michael. I don't care, man. I don't know what you're thinking. I really don't. I mean, Against the Law, Two-Time Woman, Rock the People. I mean, I love every song on this album. That Shining Star, that's a great track.
Yep.
Lady is a great ballad. Rock the Hell Out of You. I mean, Michael's voice on this thing, on Two Bodies, One Mind, One Soul. Whew. I mean, that's something else.
Yep.
I love this record. So there we go.
There we go.
Finally have one of the same.
Now, I was a little disappointed when you told me that you were kind of just going to do hair metal, because I know that you like you said, you like death metal, you like thrash metal. I was kind of hoping you were going to bring in some of that, because I only brought in one album. A lot of them, and maybe when we're done, we'll talk about some honorable mentions. And I think we probably could have did a thrash list, right? Because 90 was a freaking monster of a year for thrash albums. But there was one
that was
undeniable. I mean, I couldn't keep it off my list.
The band's lineup is nearly as volatile as the politics they sing about. Mustaine and bassist Dave Ellison have gone through half a dozen guitarists and drummers in just a few years. The latest recruits are guitarist Marty Friedman and drummer Nick Menza.
And that's Rust in Peace by Megadeth. I had to have that on there because, to me, that's when Megadeth started making sense to me. Like, I had at least the two prior to this one, and I liked certain songs, but I didn't ever like any of them as a complete album. When I bought this one, though, I was like, yeah, man, with this lineup and these songs, it's just so damn good. And even now, this is one of those ones where the singles don't get old. Holy Wars never gets old. Hangar 18 doesn't get old.
Nope.
I mean, obviously, Take No Prisoners, Eye of the Tornado, Dawn Patrol. I mean, it's just a sick album. I'm a bass player, so I love the bass on this album. And it's just, I don't know, every song is good and they all fit together. You know, it's like one of those, it's a cohesive album where I feel like I love Against the Law by Stryper, but there's parts where it's kind of like, are we the new Stryper? Or are we the old Stryper? They don't know. You know what I mean? They're kind of teetering back and forth where this is just a solid in the zone effort that is consistent all the way through. And this was the, basically for me, this was like when Megadeth really started to make sense to me. So,
Well, funny story about that album. There was a guy I knew, you know, back in junior high school when that album came out, and he was all death metal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about glam metal or anything with him, forget it. And he would always call, like, thrash music, oh, it's primitive. It's primitive. You know, he was into, like, Bolt Thrower and Death and Obituary. And, and I got Rust in Peace by Megadeth. I said, no, take this home, man. Here, you can borrow it off me. Take it home. Try it out. No. So I finally convinced him, and he took it home, and he brought it back the next day, and he's like, holy shit, man, that was awesome, you know? Like, he was just stoked about it. He freaking loved it, you know? It's like, oh, not so primitive now, is it, you know?
Oh, no.
He was all over it. I never forgot that story. Yeah. So, as far as the thrash, when we get into honorable mentions, that's where I'm going to tap into that.
Okay. Yeah, nice. I got some too, because like I said, I was starting to get into thrash probably around 89, maybe even before that, but was sparing. Like, I know I had Anthrax Among the Living around when it came out, but it was only that. You know, I didn't have a lot, because that one made sense, because Joey kind of had that voice that was familiar to me for somebody who listened to, like, glam metal and that kind of stuff. But then I think once we got to this point, I was listening to a lot of thrash. But I'm getting off topic. So what is your three?
Okay. Number three.
Their smash hit, Something to Believe In, from their album, Flesh and Blood, This Is Poison.
Everybody's favorite band. Number three, I put Flesh and Blood by Poison.
Yes.
I mean, what can I say? Valley of Lost Souls. They got serious. You know, they got bluesy. I mean, the transition from Look What the Cat Dragged did, you know, nobody realizes it, to this album, you know, it's huge.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, a song like Something to Believe In, Ride the Wind. I mean, sure, yeah, there was Unskinny Bop, but, you know, times were still fun in 1990. So, you know, we still wanted to smile at that time. And, you know, the Ballad of Life Goes On. I love CC's solo on that. So great record. Poor Boy Blues, love that song. Number three.
Well, maybe that one is on my list somewhere. I don't know. We'll see. I don't want to give it away. My number three is different though. I went with
Hi, this is Kip Winger
and Red Beach
from Winger, and we're gonna be your hosts this time on Headbangers Ball.
In the Heart of the Young by Winger. I guess I didn't realize how much I love this album until I started doing this list, and I'm looking at the songs, and I think it's great, man. It's like, it's cool because I think the album starts off and Winger is kind of doing their typical thing. You know, they got their pop metal songs that would fit with all the other bands that were out. You know, you got your ballad Miles Away, but then as the album progresses, them as well, they're getting into more mature and more complex stuff, like The Day We'll Never See, even Baptized by Fire, that thing that Red Beach does in the beginning. I mean, there's some sick
that's crazy
musicianship on this whole album. And a lot of people just want to base it on Can't Get Enough or whatever, you know, fine. But you've got to listen to the whole album because, like I said, there's some really, really cool, mature stuff on this album. So, and hey, man, Bo Hill said this is the most talented band he's ever worked with. So I got Bo in my corner on this one.
he's right. Yeah, and I love that album too. I mean, it's definitely over in my, you know, honorable mentions. Mm-hmm. Great record. I mean, like you said, like Baptized by Fire is amazing. You know, again, not a huge ballad guy, but I mean, I love Miles Away. I think that's a really cool track.
It is.
Easy Come, Easy Go. Yeah. Great album.
And my wife loves this album, so, and she loves Winger. So, I mean, if I didn't put this on there, Lori would be really upset with me. Right, Lori? So what do you have? What's your two, man?
Oh, you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Number two, Slaughter.
Ah, there we go. See, I knew. Yeah, there we go. I knew that. I was like, man, this has got to be on his list. Come on.
Well, the thing was, it was number one.
Wow. Okay.
It was number one. Yeah, Mike, I wore the letters off the cassette within a couple weeks, man. I mean, I would put it on and start it over again. I mean, eye to eye, burning bridges, up all night, yep. Spend my life. I mean, She Wants More, Fly to the Angel. I mean, this album's just loaded. I love Desperately. That's a great track.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, You Are the One. Yeah, definitely. So, and yeah, I got the chance to see them twice.
Yep.
On this tour for this album. So, and they were solid. No question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you were saying earlier about the wildlife, I mean, it's just, it just wasn't the same.
No.
Wasn't the same.
You know what I want to mention?
Yeah.
And I want to get your take on this. I forgot to mention this when I mentioned this album. Slaughter was able to pull off what Vinnie Vincent Invasion could not. And you know I'm a big Vinnie Vincent fan, and I think All Systems Go is great. Yeah. But I want to say from a appeal to like the world, you know, like a mass appeal, and with a production standpoint, this album blows away All Systems Go.
And with us right now, we've got Mark Slaughter and Dana Strum from the band Slaughter.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Now, a lot of you people out there might remember these guys from the Vinnie Vincent Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And now you guys are on your own.
Started the new thing.
What made you decide to go on your own?
Musical differences, and we just like to wish him the best. And
general,
you know, we're
feeling wanting to rock.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we wanted to get a band of camaraderie and have everybody, you know, all for one.
If you
want
to gauge it on those factors, you know what I mean? We didn't need a bunch of
hodgepodge,
fast playing, and all that bullshit that Vinnie Vincent does. We just needed good songs, well produced. You've got the right front man. He's got the look. He's got the sound. I think Vinnie Vincent was holding Mark Slaughter back for sure.
Oh, no question. No question. Yeah. I mean, this buries All Systems Go. I mean, it's not even a competition.
Right.
I dig All Systems Go. It's a great, it's a cool album, but I mean, not compared to this.
Nope.
You know, and I mean, you could tell. I mean, let's be honest. Chrysalis threw a lot of money at this album.
Yeah.
They really did. I mean, they threw a lot of money at the studio and made sure these guys put out a well-produced, you know, album. And, just solid. All these years later, I'm still not sick of it. I could put that album on any time a day and still love it as much as I did way back in 1990. So,
and you know what's cool is that one song, I think she Wants More? Or She Wants Money? What's that? What song am I thinking of? Yeah, it's funny when they're talking about the...
She Wants Money is rap.
Oh, that's right. It's talking about the girl going out and spending all the money on the credit cards, man. You'd think that would be dated, but that hasn't changed.
Nope.
Oh, it's just weird how certain
things... No, it has not.
All right, man, so here's my number two. It's definitely one that you had on your list. I got Flesh and Blood, man. I think this is Poison's best album. It, like I said, a lot of maturity. The playing is great. You mentioned a lot of the songs that I like. A couple that I really like, actually one that you didn't mention that I really like is Life Loves a Tragedy. I just think that is such a, it's a deep song, but it also is fun. You know what I mean? It's hard. Only Poison could pull that off. So, yeah, great stuff, man. Great stuff.
Yeah, that's a great track. Yeah, that's a great album. And I remember getting that in the summertime too, and that's what it makes me think about. You know, I go back to the summer of 1990 when I got that, when I got Flesh and Blood, and it's just like, when you're thinking about the summers of your youth, mm-hmm. and you can attach an album to it, it just sticks with you over the years, right? So, great choice there.
Yeah, I saw that tour. Like I think you did too, but I saw it before the shakeup with Warrant. So I saw Warrant with Poison. So that was a really cool show. That was a great show. All right, this is Make or Break now, man. What's your number one?
Woo! Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Big drum roll. Big drum roll. My number one, Blackout in the Red Room by Love Hate.
Wow! Wow! Okay. Wow!
You are ready for that?
Nope. Mind blown right there. Mind was blown.
Oh, Mike, what can I say? Yeah, I mean, whew, I love this album. First time I saw the video for Blackout in the Red Room, I was like, okay, I got to go get this now.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. Again, another one of those ones where I just wore out the cassette. Love this record. Blackout in the Red Room, Rock It, Rock Queen, Why Do You Think They Call It Dope, Fuel the Run, She's an Angel, Mary Jane, Straight Jacket, Slutty Tipsy. I mean, yeah, just, you know, one of my favorite all time. Call it what you want, hard rock, heavy metal, sleaze metal, glam metal, whatever you want to put, label you want to put on it. I just, yeah, I love it. Absolutely love it. It's just, it's raw. I love Jimmy's voice. Yeah, that's it. What else can I say? That's my number one.
Well, I'm glad that you pulled one out of, you know, left field, because I felt like when I did an 89 list a couple weeks back, and I put Loudness Soldier of Fortune as number one, and I think people were like, WTF, you know what I mean? What the hell? So
I did. I was like, what?
Right? And I love it. And you got to stand by what you love, man, when it comes to your music. This, and I'm going to be honest, this was an album when it came out, I didn't get it. Like, I didn't understand these guys. I didn't really care for his voice. It just wasn't registering with me. And then I talked to him a few months back, and I went back and I listened to Love Hate, and I was like, this is great. Whatever feelings I had before were gone. So it is kind of funny to see how your tastes change over the years. You know, you don't know what it is, why you don't like something, you know, 20, 30 years ago, but now today you like it. So I thought it sounded great, and I would like to get, you know, kind of give it a chance and really, you know, get to know that album. But my number one is, it's a little heavier, but it's not too heavy.
We made a killer metal album, the best one we've ever made to date, and we're really excited about it.
It's Painkiller by Priest.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
This one for me. I think that with this one, it was like, I probably got really into Priest at Turbo. And I kind of was just following the trajectory. So I had Turbo, thought it was pretty cool. Got Ram It Down, thought that was pretty cool. It was a little heavier. And I think we get to this point, and we're building off that momentum, and we're just out of control, man. They got Scott Travis with all that friggin' double bass. Rob's doing all the, you know, the crazy screams. And I think what's weird, I'm not trying to get deep here, but I feel like this kind of album is kind of like where I'm at in general with music. You know, I love, and people don't know this about me, but I really do gravitate toward heavier music. I don't really always gravitate toward softer or glam or pop music. I really do like heavy music, and I like heavy music attached to really well-written songs. So I feel like this is where we've got that perfect marriage, you know, heavy-ass songs with well-written songs, you know, all together. And there's just so many cool ones, ones that you don't even hear a lot about, but like One Shot at Glory, All Guns Blazing, when he does that, those screaming all by himself when he's doing the vocals.
Crazy.
You know, and obviously Painkiller is just ridiculous, you know. And maybe the guys were taking borrowing a little bit from Slayer on some of the solos and stuff they were doing, but whatever, man. They invented that shit, and Slayer kind of stole it from them anyway. So I think that things they took from other people or stuff that somebody probably took from them, it just made it heavier anyways. But now, concert-wise, I saw this tour. I saw Operation Rock and Roll. Yep. I don't know if this came to Canada or not, but I mean, dude, it was the sickest tour ever. It was Metal Church, Dangerous Toys, Motorhead, Alice Cooper, and Judas Priest. And I think this was in 91.
Yep.
But I think at that point I was into the album, but this was like, once again, I had it and I was into it. But once I saw it live with that huge metallic stage, lasers, motorcycles, you know, it was just, you know, over, man. I love it to this day. And it's probably an album, I think too, and with this list, this whole list proves this. If an album is really good, it'll just last forever. You know what I mean? There's some of those ones where I liked it in 88, but I don't like it today. We got a lot of those, but Painkiller is not one of those. You know, it's just stellar.
Oh, yeah. And I remember the first time seeing that, it was the debut for the video of Painkiller. Uh-huh. And I remember sitting there thinking, okay, so, you know, what's this going to be, like another, you know, parental guidance or, you know, another ram it down type song. Yeah. And when that fucking song kicked in, I was, what the hell is happening right now? Like, yep. It just blew me away. Holy shit. Yeah, amazing record. That's a great number one, definitely.
You know what's sad about Ram It Down is that Ram It Down received really no promo from the record label. I want to say the only video they did was for Johnny B. Goode for that stupid movie. And I don't necessarily hate Johnny B. Goode, but it's not representative of what the album's about. You know what I mean? And I don't know why they never did they probably could have did like a Painkiller type video for something like Ram It Down, the song, because it's a pretty heavy ass song. Yeah. And there's so many. Yeah. I actually like Ram It Down quite a bit. And I don't know.
Yeah,
they dropped the ball.
Guys, that's a great track.
Oh, it's ridiculously good, man.
Yeah.
There's just so many good songs. They totally boned it on that album, but man, they really. The promotion and the songs and the times, it was all spot on. So let's hear about some of your honorable mentions and whatever you want to throw out there. Yeah. You probably are going to throw out a lot of the same ones that I'm going to throw out there, but what do you got for some of yours that almost made it but didn't?
Well, like I said, I went all glam because you are the 80s glam cast.
Correct, correct.
Okay, I needed to make this easier on myself because it was way too hard, man. I was just like, okay. So for me, Mike, as you know, and you know, you've seen me posted on Twitter, I am into the heavier stuff.
Yep.
So I kept all that for my sort of honorable mention. So I got Anthrax, Persistence of Time.
Yep.
I got Seasons in the Abyss by Slayer.
Great album.
Rust in Peace by Megadeth. Definitely has to go on there. And of course, Painkiller by Judas Priest.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to show love to my Canadian boys in Annihilator for Never Never Land.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And so that's, you know, more the heavier stuff. Now, the stuff I kind of honorable mentions on the, you know, sort of, again, back to the glamier stuff. Again, my Canadian boys and Killer Dwarfs, Dirty Weapons, fantastic album. I do have In Heart of the Young by Winger on here. I got the Firehouse debut.
Yeah.
Was an honorable mention.
Yep.
Yeah. And Baton Rouge, Shake Your Soul. I don't know if you ever heard that album.
Never got into that one for some reason.
No. Yeah. And one that I thought was going to be on your list, I'm a little shocked. I thought it was going to be on there, but the Heaven's Edge debut.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought Mike's going to pick. He's going to pick Heaven's Edge somewhere in his list, I know. But, yeah, so I put that on there. Great record.
Yeah, that was in the contention. You know, it was there. But I think, I'll be honest, I was off from work one week not that long ago, and I was doing some housework, and I listened to it. And I think there's some really super strong songs, but then there's some other ones that are kind of typical fare for you know, like Bad Reputation. That's like a song that's on every hair band's album. You know what I mean? So it was like, just like.
That song actually annoyed me.
Yeah. So it just wasn't a good, complete album effort. So that one didn't make it up to some other things. I got some oddball honorable mentions. So one album that I just couldn't put on, I wanted to, but I just got into Pretty Maids more like in recent times. I don't know why they just skipped me. And I love Jump the Gun, but I think probably getting into it so late, and I've spent so much more time with those other albums, you know. I like No Prayer for the Dying, Megadeth, Iron Maiden. I think that's a great album. I don't know. I didn't like it so much when it came out, but then years later, I think that's a pretty. There's some really cool songs. I like when Maiden's a little bit simpler. I don't like super long songs in general, so I feel like they kind of got back to basics for that one. So I do like that. I also had Never Never Land. I had Rat Detonator and Heartbreak Station for the glam stuff as honorable mentions. So here's two that I'm surprised you didn't mention. I love Horoscope by Overkill.
Oh yes. Yep.
I love that one.
Yeah.
That was
love
so
it.
Close.
Love it.
That was I can't, that almost made it. And then of course Cowboys from Hell. I think Vulgar Display is a little bit better than Cowboys from Hell, and I feel like that's when Pantera really comes into their own, you know. But Cowboys from Hell is still pretty damn good.
Yeah, and it was there. I have it written down here, like you know, Cowboy, and I do have Horoscope by Overkill written down here, and I just didn't. Like I said, I was going for stuff that I just played the living crap out of, you know what I mean? And and those albums, I just didn't. They were there. I played them. I love them. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't play the crap out of them.
Yep. And a couple ones that I wrote down, I think I might have just wrote these like last minute today, because I guess I wasn't clear that King's X Faith, Hope, Love was released in 90. For some reason, I was thinking it was 89. But that's a really cool album, and I really like that album when it came out, because once again, I feel like I was starting to get into like the Beatles and different stuff. So I thought it was cool how there was like a metal Beatles, and I loved how they had more than one vocalist, how, you know, the bass player and the guitar player both sang. So that's a really cool album. Mother Love Bone was cool, man. That was some good stuff. You know, I don't know if it fits in with our list here today, but that's a pretty damn cool album. And of course, Facelift, you know, even with, you know, if you watched Headbangers Ball in 90, you would have seen all this shit together. So I guess I was kind of hoping all this stuff could exist in the same sandbox. You know what I mean? But it didn't work that way. But in 90, we saw that snapshot where everybody could coexist. Slaughter and Alice in Chains and Mother Love Bone and Priest and all these guys could be on the same show. And, you know, it all worked for that 1 year. And then it was over in 91. It was done. It was starting to fall apart.
Then it was the same way here in Canada, because you had the Headbangers Ball. We had the Pepsi Power Hour on Much Music. And it was the same way. All these bands just kind of coexisted. And, you know, you could, I'll have some of that. No, I'll have some of that. You know, you could get into all these bands. And then all of a sudden, this almost like this segregation thing happened, where it was like, oh, you can't listen to those bands anymore because they're not Nirvana and they're not from Seattle. And what is happening here? Like, you know, all of a sudden somebody's deciding what we're going to listen to. What's the rock and roll about that? When did these rules come into play? Like, it made no sense to me.
No. All right, man. Well, hey, you have a good week. And I'm sure I'll be talking with you and interacting with you on Twitter.
Absolutely, brother. You take care.
Thanks,
all
man.
All the best. Thank
you. Well, that was a fun one. I hope you enjoyed it. Lots of cool episodes are on the way. Subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And, of course, rock on!